So I know that that does not replace in-person choir whatsoever, but wasn't that beautiful? And Madeline can make that happen. If you don't think that that can happen at your house, she can make that happen with you here. So I'm really worried we're not going to be able to gather for Christmas. And I think for many, that would be one of the things we would miss so much. And so I would really encourage you that if you are a person who sings, to get in touch with Madeline and help her make that happen. Wouldn't it be amazing to see so many more faces on that screen? And you couldn't hear just one voice. It was a beautiful chorus together. So thank you, Alex, and thank you, Madeline, for making that happen, and all of you who contributed your voices to that wonderful piece. Thank you to the Kids Sunday School class for bringing all of this stuff up here this morning and making a beautiful offering before God. Before we get started on today's message, I just wanted to take a moment for us to bless these Thanksgiving bags and items that will go to families through Rock Solid. So thank you for participating in that offering today. So let's say a prayer of blessing over these. God, thank you so much for your bountiful harvest, for the ability to still be able to gather and find creative ways to offer ourselves and offer up to you things that will help people feel hopefully a little bit of normal this Thanksgiving and to gather in safe ways with their immediate families or in other ways that they've decided work for them in this pandemic. So may you bless this food. May it nourish their bodies. May you bless the hands that prepared it and that will be preparing it. May you be with Rock Solid as they prepare these bags and distribute them. And may you help us all to feel a sense of gratitude, even if it's in the midst of some grief. May we find hope in this Thanksgiving season. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. In every gospel message, there is a call. Let it be a call to the possibilities of transformation and growth. Let it be an invitation to more. Today's call is an invitation for us to be encouraged and to be an encouragement for others. God will show up, for God is already, always there. Let us pray. God, in these next few moments, may there be less and less of me and more of you. For you, O God, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The New Testament is full of one another's. That is, the biblical commands regarding how we are to treat one another as the community of faith. Commands such as love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, and encourage one another. On May 24, 1965, a 13.5-foot boat slipped quietly out of the marina at Falmouth, Massachusetts. It would be the shortest craft ever to make the voyage across the Atlantic Ocean to England. The Tinkerbell was piloted by Robert Manry, a copy editor for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who felt that 10 years at the desk was enough boredom for a while. So he took a leave of absence to fulfill his secret dream. Manry was afraid, not of the ocean, but of all who would try to talk him out of the trip, try to discourage him. So he didn't share it with many, just some relatives and his wife, Virginia. Have any of you heard this story before? I had never heard of it, and find it to be a fascinating one. This story of a boat in a port is probably not so different from the boats and adventures of some in the cultural center and port city some 200 miles north of Athens in our Bible text from today. In this city, new believers embraced the message of the gospel in a world of Greek and Roman cultures. It was a place open to the gospel, but it was also a place where gospel values would collide with the values of the world around them. Sounds like today a bit. Religious institutions are often viewed with suspicion by non-believers, who may see them as inward-looking communities of judgment and rejection instead of outward-serving communities of grace and hope. As we consider our strategies for church growth, we could learn much from the spirit Paul embodies in order to strengthen and offer encouragement to new followers. Paul meets them where they are, understanding that we can lead only the people we choose to engage with and love. In a world of increased polarization, Paul's tone of grace and authentic concern is an important consideration for Christian leaders as we seek to reach and grow a new generation of believers. In an era of division and hatred based on many external factors, such as race and ethnicity, the proclamation that every person has inherent worth, that belief that should be, seems to be radical and life-changing. But if we can truly believe in 2020 that everyone has inherent worth, that can be world-changing. We can talk about true joy that comes only from a relationship with God, but it isn't believable until we begin to live it. If there is no evidence that the joy we want to talk about permeates our lives, drives how we interact with the world on a regular basis, then our words won't mean much to those outside, and our invitation won't be attractive to anyone. Paul points us forward to something that will happen at some unknown time in the future, the second coming of Christ. But his encouragement to the Thessalonians is more about how they will live in the here and now. Will they live in the light, encouraging one another and building each other up in the present time? What we have already been given by God's mercy and by the preaching of the good news is enough to keep us alert and awake. We are to be people who are alive, alert, awake, and aware. This promise of the second coming of the Lord is not an invitation to laziness, not an excuse for idleness, nor an excuse for indifference. It is the promise of his coming that makes us much more eager to share the good news and to encourage and support each other in faith. Upbuilding, one anothering, involves the general need for Christians to understand themselves as profoundly connected with one another, so that the needs of others in the community are understood to be one's own needs as well. Encouragement is a theme that runs throughout the first letter to the Thessalonians. The word encouragement is used 4 times within 5 chapters. Biblical encouragement isn't just a nice thing that believers do, but it is woven into the fabric of how we as believers motivate each other to love and to serve Jesus. What does the Bible mean when it says we are to encourage one another? How do we encourage one another? In the early days of the church in Jerusalem, there was a man who was such an encouragement to the body of Christ that they did not call him by his given name. They simply called him Son of Encouragement. We know that name as Barnabas. We see in this man many instances of encouragement. In Acts 4, he sold one of his fields and brought the money to the apostles so that they could take care of the needy Christians in Jerusalem. In Acts 9, we see Barnabas again when Paul becomes a Christian, standing up for him. Let us also not forget the ultimate example of an encourager, Christ Jesus. When the Bible says to encourage one another, it does not mean that we are to flatter one another with excessive or insincere praise. It doesn't mean quoting motivational platitudes to one another. It's much deeper, stronger, and much more honest than that. We can encourage one another to walk in a manner worthy of God. We can follow the examples of Barnabas and Jesus to come alongside others to give them spiritual strength and encouragement. As we come together as the family of Christ and walk alongside new believers, this is an important goal. We need to encourage each other in the hope we have. 1 Thessalonians is a book that encourages our hope of eternity. We can encourage each other by reminding one another of the hope we have in Christ. God is faithful to God's promises. There are two Greek words used in this letter for encouragement. The first is the word parakaleo, which means to call from alongside of. The second is paramuthiomai, which means to counsel from alongside of. Encouragement, a sense of coming alongside of, along their life, their struggles, their story. Biblical encouragement ultimately points us to God. Our encouragement can never be severed from the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has not destined us for wrath, but salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that we might live with him. There is no greater encouragement possible. We are called to look at God, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. God is a paraclesis, the God of encouragement. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as encourager and comforter, the paraclete, one who calls from alongside. This biblical metaphor of the race that we run, that God has set before us, is one that I hear referred to often, and it's a favorite of many. I am not a runner, so it's not my favorite metaphor, but I get the idea of running a marathon and not sprinting to the finish. When I hear this metaphor, I usually think of the runner. I think the hurricanes come to visit us, Barb. I haven't typically thought of the other runners alongside the aforementioned runner. We aren't called to run this race individually, but we are called to run it together, alongside of one another. We are to encourage one another, not leave someone behind. We can encourage each other with stories and testimonies about God at work in the world. We need to be alert for the signs, marks, and places of God's revelation so that we can encourage one another to continue to wait and to hope for the second coming of the Lord. The Thessalonians did not make up the perfect church. They had their issues. But again and again, Paul identified God's work in their lives. Church people, the sort who show up for church on ordinary Sundays besides Christmas and Easter, when there's nothing particularly extraordinary going on, know that that is exactly when Christ shows up. In the conversations at coffee hour before or after worship, in the hymns and prayers lifted high in the sanctuary, in the potluck meals, in the church nursery, in the hospital visits, in the funeral receptions, online, and all of the other creative ways we've come up with in 2020. This is where Christ appears. You may be able to recall a time when seemingly mundane church work became the catalyst for something divine. Sometimes when we least expect it, in the most ordinary of moments, we are moved by the extraordinary presence of God. The text ends with an exhortation to keep up the good work, which is perhaps what those of us who are tired and worn out need to hear these days. One of the last times I preached, I encouraged you to shift the questions you were asking if you weren't getting an answer in prayer. Perhaps today you're asking, why isn't God at work in my life? God is always at work in your life. Your question might need to become, why don't I see where God is at work in my life? Will we sleep through God's visitations in our lives? Or will we be alert to angels in disguise, bringing tidings of great joy and inviting us to creative transformation? God is seeking our wholeness and salvation, and we need to embrace the grace with which upholds us. The surprises of grace involve not only our own well-being, but our care for others. Remember Manry, who was going to take his boat on a voyage across the Atlantic? His trip was not pleasant. He spent nights of sleeplessness trying to cross shipping lanes without getting run over and sunk. Weeks at sea caused his food to become tasteless. Loneliness led to terrifying hallucinations. His rudder broke 3 times. Storms swept him overboard. And had it not been for the rope he had tied around his waist, he would never have been able to pull himself back on board. Finally, after 78 days alone at sea, he sailed into Falmouth, Cornwall, England. He had wondered about what he would do once he arrived. He expected to simply check into a hotel, eat dinner alone, then the next morning see if just maybe the Associated Press might be interested in his story. Well, was he in for a surprise? Words of his approach had spread far and wide. To his amazement, 300 vessels with horns blasting escorted Tinkerbell into port, and 40,000 people stood screaming and cheering him to shore. Can you imagine? Robert Manry, the copy editor turned dreamer, became an overnight hero. His story has been told around the world, but Robert couldn't have done it alone. Standing on the dock was his wife, Virginia. She had encouraged him when others would have discouraged him. I can't imagine being through those rough waters, long nights, and lonely days, being welcomed by such a crowd and your family when your expectations were set so low as to how you would arrive. What would it be like for us to be so encouraging of one another? And how would it feel to receive such encouragement? As we move into a time of offering, we offer not only our tithes, but we offer ourselves. Take some time to reflect on how you can encourage others, other Christians, new believers, and non-believers. And how can you be open to encouragement from others? Let us now bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Amen.